If you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. And this is Paul's letter to this young pastor, teacher, evangelist, encouraging him, telling him the days that will approach. And this is quite prophetic because it does speak of the last days that we're now encountering, we're seeing, we're now experiencing. And I'm calling this morning, we live in times of stress, peril, wickedness, all those things that are happening. We live in times of stress. And I'm going to read this to you in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. A warning to the churches, a warning to believers, a warning to society, a warning to governments, heads, officials. It is a warning to the world. And Paul warns Timothy to stand fast in his youth, to remain faithful to the word, little strength, because these things are coming. And the church, and the only church that will stand in this climate, is indeed the Philadelphian church. For you have little strength, but you have kept my word and the name of Jesus. Now God knows what he's doing. He knows how to redeem, to preserve and keep a remnant in these conditions. And God has allowed these conditions for a very reason and a purpose, to show that he is God and to show that he can preserve and keep to himself a remnant, those whom he calls from the foundation of the world, to show to this wicked world that he can still keep a people to himself. And that is one of the reasons why he's allowing the world to go as far as it is. And sometimes we feel, Lord, how far is this all going to go? How far will you let this go? When will you intervene? And we feel that sometimes. We hear ourselves sometimes saying this when we hear the things that go on in the news, or we see those things, or whatever it would be. Sometimes you say, Lord, how long are you going to let this go on? Well, God is sovereign. He does have this under control. And we are rapidly moving, as God is showing us, toward the coming of the Lord. But we live in these times of perilous times, which really means times of stress, times of wickedness. That is what we're listing. Because these things that are listed here really comes out of wickedness, comes out of an evil heart. It comes out of reprobate minds, seared consciences that no longer retain, hold God, his values, his principles anymore. We're all seeing it. We've all come out of it. We're all getting deliverance from this. That's the wonderful thing that God is doing. But there is much today around us that is causing this stress, through this wickedness that we live in. And you see, medical science, doctors, psychiatrists won't really come clean and say that this is wickedness. that's causing this today. This is selfishness. This is coming out of a wicked heart, men, women who no longer retain and hold God, his values, anymore. They don't come clean on that. They patch it over. They are aware that the world is causing this stress, this anxiety in man. And even church leaders, even they are compromising in this. Even they can't say, look, this is sin that causes this, in case they offend people. And so these stress levels, this sickness, this disease will simply increase more and more. And that's really what I want to emphasize, as I believe God has shown me this morning. But this term perilous speaks of dangers, pitfalls, the perils of this life. And the question I raise is it getting better? No. It's going to get worse until the Lord comes to stop it. That's its events. Now, what are some of these areas that we're speaking about? Well, before I look at what is catalogued here, I just wanted to highlight to you just some of the things that you hear in everyday living. You may hear on the radio, you may hear on the news, you may just read the headlines at newspapers when they're newspapers around at work, whatever it would be. These are sort of the things that you are reading and hearing day after day after day. We're hearing the rumours and threats of war. You hear that from day to day. You hear constantly, it almost seems, on terrorism, the threat of terrorism. Countries trying to protect themselves from these moves. We hear about murders. Murders are increasing. We hear about kidnapping, holding families, even nations, governments to ransom through the form of kidnap. We're seeing more and more being brought up the behaviour of young people, which includes violence, the carrying of knives, bottles, guns, you name it. These are all things I'm bringing out that are not revelation to you. You hear them in the news. Drugs, the increase of drugs. We've got another form of drug now that's coming, that is a substitute for a lot of them, that is cheap to produce. I forget what they call it now. What's it called? Crystal meth. That's it, yeah. Crystal what?
Meth.
Crystal meth. Yeah, that's the one. Which is a substitute, cheap to produce, but they reckon the side effects to this are devastating. Alcohol, well, you can obtain alcohol now because young people have money. They can pick it up quite cheap. We see all of these things around us. And of course, you can add to that. You can add to it. But they're just some of the things that I've highlighted that are plaguing societies. And it's not just this country. It is universal. It is universal. It just hits some countries probably harder and quicker, possibly because of their history. How far they've fallen from the grace of God. How blessed they were years or centuries back. And I know this country is in the forefront of having lost and is losing its blessings. We're no longer a blessing anymore. We no longer produce anything that is a blessing. Even in the sport world, they're absolutely tearing their hair out. Why it is that Britain can't produce any good sportsmen anymore, whether it be from football to cricket, athletics, you name it, a whole lot. There's a terrible blanket over the country on that. And of course, we've got the Olympics that's supposed to be coming up in 012, I believe. That's if the Lord tarries. And so it goes on. Blessing is being removed. And so when all of this happens, and is happening, what happens to man? Well, you see the stress levels begin to rise. And what does stress create? Well, in turn, we know what stress is creating. It creates increase in heart problem, strokes, cancer, diseases, viral diseases, all these modern 21st century diseases that we're seeing, much of it is created by stress. And stress will always amplify, blow out of proportion to what things really are. Stress will also open the door to greater fears, phobias. And so we have all these diseases, these psychological, psychosomatic diseases that are on the increase. Diseases, oppression, demons that affect the minds. And so we see, of course, increase in mental disorder, schizophrenia, and so it goes on. This is all as a result of what we're seeing here listed. We live in times of stress, and that's how God has given this to me. Well, bearing that in mind, we now can start to look at these things that have been brought up. For he says we live in perilous times, and these times will come. These times are here. And it goes on. It says, for men will be lovers of themselves. And I believe that that is put there first for a very specific reason. Because if man loves himself and puts himself first above his fellow brother or sister, his fellow being, his neighbour, you will see all the rest that is brought out here. For lovers of themselves, put self first, putting those things that he wants, those things he desires, and so if he puts himself first, he thinks he will rid himself of those levels of stress. That is the lie of it. If I put myself first, if I look after number one, that is going to give me peace of mind. That is going to look after me. That is going to keep me warm, put food on the table, and so forth. And so he believes the lie that he will rid himself that way from the levels of stress. And that is the lie. The reason that he loves himself and puts self first is because God is not there. And so because if God isn't there, then he's going to fill that area with something else. That area that's created. We're created in God's image. If he doesn't put God there, which is for God, then he's going to put something else there. And I can tell you, 9 times out of 10, what else will take that place? Himself. He will become instead his own God or her own God. And so they believe that lie, and they think that by being that and doing that, I will reduce these stress levels. Now, of course, they don't go around and say, oh, I'm putting self, by the way, first so that I get delivered from stress. I'm putting you that how I believe God's revealed that to me. That is how man does it. He doesn't know why he does that, but of course, he's looking for a utopia in this life. And of course, society, government, and everything is deluding you and telling you that it can build this wonderful utopia. And they'll say, if you vote for us, we'll be on your side. And you will live like a god. stress-free, because we're dealing with all those problems that is faced, you know, in humanity. That's what they tell you. A better world, a better country, a better life, a better future. That's all the buzzwords you hear, don't you? And as we get close to the elections, those are the buzzwords you're going to hear. Now, man believes that, because that ministers to self, that godlike nature. So that's going to rid us of our stress levels. And people are becoming aware of stress. That's why you've got gyms around. That's why you have therapies. People go and can relax, or go to a masseur, or various things, or yoga now, meditation, all these things, because it's trying to reduce the stress levels, because they put self first. And they never will. Never will. When you begin to put self first, you're trying to look after number one. Now, have you ever thought about trying to look after number one? What is involved in trying to look after yourself? Well, to try and look after yourself, the first thing that comes to mind is you need to be on a pretty high salary, don't you? Because that's the next thing that comes up, to look after self. If you're going to put number one first, you've got to be on a pretty high salary. And to go on a high salary means you have to work for it. And it's long hours. And it's stress, is it not? And those of you at work and work in commercial businesses where you see all of this that goes on, you'll see the long hours, what is expected, so that they can try and feed self and think that that is going to keep them stress-free. Isn't the devil subtle? Isn't it delusional to think that man can do this and cause himself to be stress-free? Why? Because he loves himself. That's the first thing that he's put. For men will be lovers of themselves. Then the next one comes up, and I already touched on it, lovers of money. So lovers of money, you've got to earn the money to be stress-free. Got to earn the money to have a good house, so that you can escape bad neighbours or an area you don't like to live in. Or because I can buy what I want. Or because I buy that will improve my life. You know, today we've got things and everything, it's so geared that if you buy that, you will have a better life. You will be stress-free. They do that with cars, don't they, you know? Well, whatever car you drive, you can drive the most expensive car on planet Earth, but you're still going to have to stop at traffic lights. You're still going to find a traffic jam on the M25, or whatever it will be. Stress. It's still going to get from A to B. Sometimes it's going to take hours when you could do it in 20 minutes. Doesn't matter what vehicle you're driving. But they somehow have it, don't they, that if you buy this vehicle, somehow you're going to fly through the air. And you'll get there a lot quicker. It's all delusional. It's a lie. But what do the rich do? Well, the rich, if they've got the money, they're going to build a castle. And around that castle, they're going to put a moat to protect themselves. From what? Stress. Protect the family. To keep themselves alive. And of course, that's why you see castles today. Castles were built many, many, many centuries back to preserve, to protect themselves. So they think that by doing that, they can reduce the stress levels, you see. Well, we don't need to do that. We've got something like Psalm 91. You can live by the promises that protect you in that. You need to read that, you know, my friends. Make that a constant course of reading. Confess it. Confess it to the powers of darkness. Read it and confess it over your house, over your loved ones, your family. I tell you, I've said it before, I'll say it again. What you've got in Psalm 91, no insurer would ever put what is in Psalm 91. They'd be broke within several hours. And yet you've got everything in there. It's not insurance, it's an assurance. And remember that. And we recently have just had to put that one into operation. You can feel the stress levels coming up. And I've stood for many, many, many years on Psalm 91 over our house, our property. And we for years have lived without any insurance, out without any lightning rod insurances, nothing. We have trusted God. And we were tested a few weeks ago whether we were trusting the Lord or not. Started getting a blockage in the sewerage. Toilet was not flushing properly. Of course, you sort of think, well, it's the usual thing. It needs this cleaning out, whatever. Cut a long story short, in the end, I sought God. I said, Father, whatever this is, I stand on your word, Psalm 91. You know, you can feel those stress levels coming up, you know. You're thinking, well, is this something serious? And the devil's saying, you should have had an insurance, you know. And anyway, to cut a long story short, we got the lid off, the manhole. And lo and behold, there's a flood there. It's not going away, the sewerage. And of course, we get the pipes down there to try and clear. Can't get through. Solid. And we're trying to work out the piping. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we get somebody in to have a look. And he said, we've seen what it is, we've cleared. It was roots from next door, from something they planted. Those roots had got in and had blocked part of the manhole. Of course, as soon as it cleared away. But you see, the devil never wants to stop there, does he? He said, well, put a camera down there, you see. And I should have just said no there and then. You know, we trust in the Lord. Thank you very much. You've come out, you've cleared it, we'll pay you. Puts a camera down there. Oh, bad news. Bad news. You know, you need to have a liner. It's got to go through the pipe. Because, you know, these pipes that were laid years back were not the same pipes that are laid today, you know. So it's slightly sinking, bowing in the middle, but we can put a liner through and we can do it for X amount of money. So I said, okay, right, we prayed about it, fine, fair enough, if that's what it needs. Then they come to do it. The devil's saying, you should have taken insurance out. You know, you could get this off your insurance and so forth. Then they come to do it. A knock at the door. I've got some bad news for you. We can only get this liner part the way through, in the middle of the pipe, it's sinking, and here you are, sir, here's the camera, you can look for yourself, and yes, it was sinking, and the devil said, well, there you go, they can't put this liner through. He said, the only thing we can do, sir, is we'll have to take part of the passageway driveway up, and the pipe goes through the kitchen utility, right through the other side, got to go right through, take the floor up, through the utility, tiles up the lot, we'll give you an estimate. And the devil's saying, you should have taken insurance out on this, you know. And I thought, no, it's Psalm 91. Psalm 91, the oppression, you could feel it. You could feel the stress levels coming up, you know, stress levels. Oh, heart starts pounding, you know, feel it. Then you think to yourself, we'd better move. I thought, no, you can't move. Don't do that sort of thing, you know. And I thought, and then I went before the Lord. I said, Father, I have stood for years on your word, and you have been faithful, and there is no reason why you should not still continue to be faithful. Now, if this is the route you want to go, then we go that route, and you will supply the money, because it would be expensive doing that. And I felt just that peace there, his presence. And that's all I wanted. And I said, it's not man's report, it's your report. And I just went back and looked into the word again, looked to what God says. And of course the estimate comes through, and I knew what it was going to be. I knew exactly what it's going to be, because you know Satan's report. And of course it would run literally into thousands to have this done. And of course there's so, it's just so casual about it, as though it's the norm. You know, you can always borrow the money or whatever, that this is what we'll do, you know. There's nothing sort of saying, look, we're terribly sorry about this, and this is the price. You know, it's as though, almost as though it's expected of you, you know, that's what you pay attitude. I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I said, no, Father, I'm trusting you. If this is the route we go, see, I didn't dismiss what God is saying, because God works in ways past finding out, but I'm standing on the way. If this is the way God wants us to go, we'll go that way. You will supply. You will supply. And I felt that peace. And then it seems as though the Lord just took me back to how this all started. And how did this all start? It started by some roots from a shrub next door just blocking the hole, which we could have done, but we didn't find where it was. Man comes in, shoves his cameras down there. Next thing you know, is a bearer of, woes. Man speaking, oh, you've got blockage. We've seen what the pipe's like and everything. And God was watching to see whether we were going to take on board what they say, that fear, that bondage, that stress, or whether we were going to continue to stand on Psalm 91. Well, we're standing on Psalm 91. And I believe God has spoken into my heart. Yes, that pipe may have bowed a little bit in the middle, but that pipe is still working perfectly normal. It's all clear. We would never have known unless man had probed and pushed down all his gadgets and gizmos, which he does. We would have never have known. And that is how God wants us to live. He doesn't want us to know these things. That was the problem with Adam and Eve. Their eyes were open to what God didn't want man to know. And that is Satan's evil report. And that is what I've learnt in that. Yes, we may be tested, but God doesn't want my mind open to those stress levels, anxiety, fear, and all that goes with it. He wants me to stand and believe God's report. And that's what I learned through this, you see. And you see, many times God tests me before I get up and preach a message. You know, because it has to work and does work. And so we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to trust him because he's faithful. And he has shown that we're to put our trust in him, whatever man may say, you see. And of course, probably most people who have properties, who live where they are, if you were to get those cameras and start probing and going underground and everything, you'll probably find there's a huge amount of problems of whatever, you see. So one could raise the question, well, do you want to live in ignorance like that then? Just pretend, turn your back on things? Well, God doesn't let us do that. God will get us to confront reality. He does. He has a way. But he does it. Who are you going to trust? Are you going to listen to man's report? Or are you going to listen? Are you going to continue to believe what I say? And that is the point. And when you settle that, then God will work through the whole situation. You see? And even if God said, yes, you've got to have that new pipe. Yes, it's got to go through. God will work it. God will supply. God will be on the scene. Because the stress levels, the unbelief will not be there. Unbelief always creates stress. James speaks about those in unbelief are like the wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. Well, to me, that speaks of those being tossed to and fro, living under stress, does it not? Which we're not to live under. So, coming back to looking at this then, they're lovers of money, which we've looked at. That's why you don't need to pay out for bodyguards, those to protect you. Did you know that's becoming a big, big thing today? With those who've got money? Hire bodyguards. They have all this protection around the house. Cameras, surveillance. These big fences that they build with spikes on the top. You want to come round our area, you'll see no end of people with properties. Got all of that built, thinking that they can reduce the stress levels. Because they have the money, they think that they can buy all of this stuff. And believe me, all this stuff that I've spoken about is very expensive. Very expensive. Then he goes on, boasters, proud. I put those two together, boasters, proud, because they're similar, really. So, in what they have, or they think they have, their security, their money, and so on, that they're free from stress, or I have private medical care, so I have the best attention and everything, that is a form of pride, proud. They're proud in that way because what they're saying is, that has reduced stress levels in my life. That's how they think. They, of course, don't say it like that, but that's what I'm saying. And so we have the proud, who are proud in all of these things, and like to let you know what they have and experience, because they think it reduces that stress, that worry, that anxiety. But it doesn't. It's delusional. It's a lie. It's a lie. And so you hear that today. And so they advise you to take out private medical care. I know those of you working in companies, whatever, that pressure on you more and more is being applied to take out private medical care. And of course, they all tell you, don't they, in these adverts, how they keep an eye on you and, you know, have these scans if regular and so on. But it's a lie. It's all delusional. What I'd like to know is those who have medical private care, do statistics show us that they are less vulnerable to having heart problem or cancer? I'd like to see if a survey's done on that to those that are just under the NHS. Has a survey been done on that, Sue, do you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah? I bet it doesn't come out. I bet it's about the same, isn't it? So you see, that's again what we're faced with. So boasters, they're proud. They're proud of their achievements. They're proud of their protection. They're proud that they can be independent of God. You poor souls, you. You obviously need the Lord. You know, it's right for you, but not for me. You know, sometimes you say to Christians, oh, I'm a Christian, whatever. Oh, that's nice. It's almost sort of condescending, isn't it? You know? Oh, that's nice. That's sweet, isn't it? As though, well, you need it, but I don't. So, that's how it comes. Boasters, proud. What do I need of God? Blasphemers. Well, that moves with it as well. They blaspheme. The proud, the arrogant, are also blasphemers. Very proud, arrogant people blaspheme a lot. They use the name of Jesus. You hear it at work, you hear it round where you walk and so forth. And I do have to overcome that. I get offended by it. So, firstly, because it's using my Saviour's name. But the other thing is, there are so many thousands of names in the world. Why does it have to be that name? You never hear Muslims using Muhammad, do you? Oh, they'd be afraid to use that. You have your head off. And yet they use our Saviour's name. don't they? Powers of darkness, they're proud, arrogant. Ay, 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 ay. You see, we nod our heads to all these things because all these things are happening now. It's around us. You don't need any revelation. There's no revelation to this, really, what I'm preaching today, because it's there. It's rife. Well, then fourthly, it goes on about disobedient to parents. Well, they're unthankful, we're shown. Disobedient to parents. You could catalogue this in with the rest of it. Unthankful and unholy with it. So the breakdown of family life is one of the big stress factors that hit society today. It's not just in this country. But the breakdown of family life, which is Satan's number one weapon, creates stress. What do I mean by stress? Well, what does it do? Breakdown of family life. It creates unhappiness. It creates insecurity. It creates a false life. Children lying to parents. And it just goes on. And so where you see this breakup in family life, you will see the stress levels are high. And so as a result, stress levels that are high opens up to sickness, to mental problems, and so on. Can't we see how the powers of darkness are working this? And so, because they're disobedient, and that's the key to it, no longer want to obey God, to look to God's principle and standards, so we're going to do it ourselves. I will do my own thing because I love myself. That's what we looked at the beginning. Hence the disobedience. And so they're unthankful. They no longer, in other words, appreciate, respect parents. You talk to some children today. Do you respect your parents? And do you know what reply you will get? Do you know what you'll get? Respect has to be earned. That's what you get. Respect has to be earned. And I've not seen much of it yet from my parents. Whether that be true or not, the fact remains is how sad you hear that sort of thing coming out of them. So that shows the unholiness, the ungodliness, the uncleanness that's behind all of this. They're unthankful because they take it all for granted. It's expected. You've got a generation today that expects it from their parents. Whether it puts them in the red financially or not, tough, they expect it. That's the attitude. I've seen it. And I see it from 6-7 year olds. I'm not talking to teenagers. It can come as young as that. And so because it comes easy now, they become unholy. It's just a general ungodliness. No moral principles anymore. We can see the disease of all of this. How it just like is a domino effect. It just hits one after the other, after the other, after the other. And I'm only scratching the surface what I'm sharing with you this morning. And then it moves on. Unloving. And under the area of unloving, you have the unforgiveness, which goes with that. So we have a society, a generation that are unloving. And these, of course, are the dangers in society and family life. Because if you are experiencing an unloving situation, you are going to experience an increase in rejection. And in turn, in rejection, you are going to see an increase in violence, aggression, and all of those things again are on the increase. This is why we're seeing this young generation now so violent, so aggressive, angry, rejection, And so they turn to these vices. And whatever they're telling you, it's getting worse. And we're seeing money, government money, being ploughed into these new ideas, these new schemes. You keep hearing it coming up, don't you? And you think, well, there's nothing new in it. They tried it 2 years ago, 6 years ago, and what was the result? Nothing came of it. Why cannot government man address the root problem? They can't. You know why they can't? Because they can't see it. They don't want to see it. They become ungodly. And so they think to morally educate a person, you can make them a better person. That is the biggest fallacy. That is the biggest lie. That is the biggest lie over education. That ploughing all that money into education, you can make a man or woman morally better. You can make them a better citizen. That is Satan's number one lie working today in society. And so our money, taxpayers' money, is ploughed in year after year. And what do we see? A society getting worse and more violent. Standards of education falling more and more. It is. Teachers now, a lot of them can't stay in that profession for too long. Why? Stress. I wouldn't want to be a teacher now. No way. They earn the money they get. You know, they really do. The abuse that they get. And of course, they cannot do the things that teachers should do. And I know there's some teachers who misuse their authority. But they've got to be careful what they even say to them now, where they could be taken to a tribunal. And so it goes on. We live in a desperately sick world and society. And that's why the good news of the gospel is we don't belong to this anymore. We're of another kingdom. I thank the Lord. And, you know, you're going to, after we've heard all of this, you're going to thank God. If you are truly born again, filled with the Spirit, you're going to praise God you're of another kingdom, that you're not part of this. You don't have to walk this way. You don't have to take on board the stress levels of all of this, the wickedness, the anxiety, the perilous days that we live in. That is the good news of the gospel. And so there we are. They are unloving, unforgiving, slanderers. Oh, we live in that today, don't we? That's why everyone's suing one another, taking one another to court. It just shows that unforgiveness, that unlovingness, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. And of course, we see all these things going on in professing Christendom. Professing Christendom is not free from this by any means. You see it all going on. Unforgiveness, slanderers, backbiting. They have no self-control. They're brutal, despisers of good. We're seeing all of that on the increase. Self-control is going. And if self-control goes, they simply become brutal. They despise anything that stands for good when self-control starts to go. Anything that's good, anything that stands for purity, they will despise it. It's despicable. You are ashamed. That's why Christians, you've got to watch out. You're going to be rejected because we stand for good. We stand for what is right, pure, holy. And they will despise you for that. You'll be despicable. That's how it's going to turn. That's how blind man is going to become in these last days and has become. He then moves on. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So that's what traitors are characterized. Traitors are headstrong, arrogant, proud, haughty. And so in nature, they will be traitors. They will give somebody over, hand them over, and not care at all, no trust, no love, no respect, no examples. Their pleasures come from other things, from those things. But pleasure for them will never come from that which is morally right, pure and upright. They take no pleasure in that at all. You see? And sadly, again, that can be found amongst Christians. Jesus himself had to live with one, knowing that one day he was going to be betrayed by him. Headstrong. People who are headstrong will never learn. They don't want to learn from God. I know it. You don't have to tell me. And so it goes on. You know, these pleasures come from exactly what the devil and what the world is giving today. These pleasures that the world give out today feed those sort of people, feed those spirits. You see? And that is why God is separating us from these things. And that's why, as I bring this to a close, that is why God is working deliverance in us. He's been working that over your life, my life, for all these years, because of those things we've just looked at today. You were not only involved in those, but your parents were, and your ancestors, and their ancestors, and their ancestors. That is why it's such a huge deliverance. And deliverance comes first by eyes being opened. God has had to open your eyes first before he then brings the deliverance. And that opening of the eyes isn't always easy. We don't always want to acknowledge. But again this morning, we've had our eyes open to just some of these things, that what the Holy Spirit sees that's working here, what's behind these things. So as we become aware of this, we can become spiritually alert. This helps us with spiritual warfare. These things that we've looked at today help you to pray effectively, that you no longer have your eyes closed or you're not seeing anymore, but that you know you're seeing what's happening, or you're seeing what's happening in your family, or you're in your child, or whatever it will be. You become aware of these things, because God doesn't want us to live in ignorance, in darkness. For he is light, and we are children of the light, as the word tells us. And so these things have to be exposed. But that is what we're living in. That is what we're seeing. That is what we've experienced. It's what you're going to see today as you leave this place. It's what you're going to see tomorrow. It's what you're going to see when you go to work. You can't run away from it. It's there. So God says he can preserve and keep us from that. And how he does that is by delivering you and I. And part of your deliverance, my deliverance, is not pushing this under the carpet, but is seeing this face on. Amen? Because it's happening. It's happening. And that just tells me Jesus, his return, is not far